The National Audubon Society, one of the oldest conservation groups in the country, did something a bit controversial. It joined the Carbon Capture Coalition, which supports the use of technology to capture carbon dioxide emissions produced by burning fossil fuels at power plants and factories, preventing that carbon from entering the atmosphere. Environmental groups haven't embraced carbon capture because it focuses on fossil fuels rather than renewable energy. Joining us now is Matthew Anderson, who is Vice President of Climate Change and Strategic Initiatives at the National Audubon Society. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And tell us why you made this decision at the Audubon Society to support carbon capture.
Yeah. Well, back in 2014, the National Audubon Society released a report, its Birds and Climate Change report, showing that climate change was the single biggest threat to birds in North America, putting nearly half of all North American bird species at risk of extinction by the end of this century. And so as we gear up to take on this significant challenge facing not only birds, but people and the places that we all love and cherish and depend on, we really need to be pushing towards solutions that are making progress on reducing carbon emissions. And that means being able to look at a broad set of solutions. And we believe that carbon capture, storage, and use has an important role to play in driving down greenhouse gas emissions, carbon dioxide, and potentially pulling carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere moving forward, which is likely to be a critical need.
Well, was there a lot of debate within the Audubon Society about this? Because some environmentalists believe that this is not good enough. Carbon capture is not good enough. We should just move away from fuels that emit carbon.
Well, I think the interesting thing there is for us as a centrist solutions-oriented organization, and that's been a hallmark of Audubon for our nearly 115-year history, we don't think there is any one single silver bullet solution to what is the one of the world's, if not the world's largest challenge. And so putting all of our eggs in one basket just doesn't make sense. And so carbon capture has been around for over 40 years. It's been around longer than I've been alive. It's been deployed in multiple countries around the world. And what we believe needs to happen is appropriate investment in it, testing, innovation, incentivizing the market, and then monitoring. We need to make sure that it works, right? That if we're going to store it, that we then make sure it stays stored, and that we're going to need multiple solutions out there to tackle this. And so, yes, clean energy needs to be done. So we support wind if it's properly sited. We'd like to support other energy solutions that get us to a zero net emissions economy in the future.
But was there controversy about that decision?
We've not experienced any controversy. We looked at it in detail, and we looked to the analysis that came out of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and their conclusion that carbon capture storage was going to need to be a part of the mix. We talked to members of Congress and their offices. We talked to partners and allies, and we thoroughly vetted this. And I don't know that everyone is thrilled with it, but we haven't really experienced any controversy around it. In fact, it's been the opposite. The support and I think sort of the uniqueness of having one of America's oldest, largest, and most well-known conservation organizations put down a marker and say this is an important piece of the mix, I think has actually been mostly received positively.
Now, carbon capture has been around for decades, but as of today, there are only about 17 large-scale carbon capture plants in the world. Mm-hmm. The biggest one in the U.S. is in the Houston area. Do you think that it's going to catch on finally? I mean, it's been so long and there aren't that many.
Yeah, I think you're putting your finger on it right there. I think the 45Q tax credit that was just passed should help with that. I think the new Use It Act that is being sponsored by Senator Barrasso from Wyoming and just passed out of the Environment and Public Works Committee in the Senate unanimously. So when you've got both Senator Barrasso and Senator Bernie Sanders on board with the same thing, pushing smart investments and incentives for carbon capture, use, and storage, I think we're headed in the right direction because we've got to get it up to scale quickly enough. I think a recent study back in 2016 showed that we are pulling about 40 metric tons of carbon out of the atmosphere on an annual basis. but we need to be at around 4,000 metric tons being pulled out of the atmosphere every year by 2050. So orders of magnitude of increase. And that kind of innovation, that kind of progress, that's the kind of leaps forward that we're going to need to see if we're going to tackle climate change and keep warming below 2 degrees C.
As a representative of the Audubon Society, which is primarily about birds and protecting birds, what scares you more, a coal plant spewing out carbon or a wind turbine somewhere?
Wow, that's a great question. I think for us, it's in both cases about are they done right, right? So in the case of the wind turbine, did we site it in the right place? Did we first avoid potential conflict? Did we then minimize conflict with birds and wildlife and habitat? And then did we mitigate any impacts that are going to happen? And I would say in terms of fossil fuels, if the technology is there and if we can deploy it in a cost-effective way, if we can eliminate the greenhouse gas emissions, great. So if in both cases, energy done right, energy done well, is good energy. And we're going to need to have that mindset, a solutions-oriented mindset, as energy demands increase around the world. We're going to need to see energy done right.
And when it comes to wind farms, is there one that you can point to that's done right, that where when you drive by it, you know, you don't worry that it's going to kill the birds?
Well, I can't speak to one specifically. I think we know the ones that are the sort of the bad ones. But I think the main thing here is the process that gets us there, where the company's following the guidelines and the standards, both with the federal and state standards. Was there an open and public process for commenting? Was there real data and transparency about both the project and the potential impacts, and were the investments made the right way to avoid, minimize, and mitigate impacts? Also, is it done in a way that is helping drive renewable energy? There's sort of this notion out there that the thing that is slowing down renewable energy investment is concern over wildlife and birds in particular. And in fact, at Audubon, we want to see an increase in the deployment of wind and solar, because climate change is the more significant threat by an order of magnitude. We're talking about the loss of species, entire species. And in order to fight that scale of a problem, we have to have solutions that are equal to that.
I want to ask you one more thing. You're joining us from Minnesota today, and not far from where you are is the new U.S. Bank Stadium, which is made of reflective glass that birds have been flying into. They can be injured or killed. Is there anything the Audubon Society is trying to do about buildings like that one?
Yes, there is. And it's everything from local efforts and partnering with individual building owners and landlords to in a program called Lights Out, one of the most dangerous times for birds when it comes to bird building collisions is at night during migratory seasons. And so making sure that our cityscapes have the lights out in their tallest, most well-lit buildings during those critical migratory times is a really great step, and has the co-benefit of reducing energy use and saving money. And then there are materials out there that folks are developing and trying to test and use. And then there are architects around the country who are looking at different design. I would say that your example there with U.S. Bank right down the freeway here is an interesting one when compared to the new home of the Minnesota United, the MLS team here. And that building is really making efforts to be bird friendly and to be green. The owner of the team is a conservationist and a lepidopterist and has lots of interest in making sure that this is a bird friendly building.
A lepidopterist, by the way, is somebody who studies butterflies, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There we go. I remember from high school biology. So are you saying, though, that the U.S. Bank building is not bird friendly?
Right now, we're Audubon is conducting a multi-year study of that facility in partnership with the stadium and the team. I think that those results will be coming out later this year or early next year.
That's Matthew Anderson, Vice President of Climate Change and Strategic Initiatives at the National Audubon Society. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.